Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
It's a tribe run for element of excitement. That's a set off.
Yeah, welcome, running commentary listeners. We're about to run with the tribe and Guy, Tom and Rob, say hello.
Hello.
That was only two of them because of microphone issues. It's okay.
Five people, four mics.
That's the beauty of
sounds
the thing.
Like, almost sounds like a musical, doesn't
and
it?
And we haven't actually started running yet because we can't start because we don't know where we're going.
It's all in Guy's hands.
Guy, where are we going?
All in my hands. We are going to do an amazing route through Hackney up to Springfield Park.
Cool.
And if the weather holds, we'll have an amazing view over London. And then it's not going to hold.
Yeah, man.
So let's forget that.
Let's go, yeah. Put the kibosh on the wither and let's go.
Nice.
How far are we going today?
Bang on 6 miles.
We can do that.
Absolutely. I'd rather go 6 miles than, say, just plucking a number out of the air, 1,000 miles.
Just so happens that is a distance we may have covered once upon a time.
Yeah, you did. Well, so it was 1,000 miles in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, exactly. So we started off in Odessa and ran about 35 miles a day for a month.
Where did it start for you meeting each other, deciding to do it? Were you all into running? Were you?
Yeah.
Give us a bit of backstory.
A backstory, yeah. Well, I think my favourite part of the backstory is when the three of us sort of came up with the idea of doing the Marathon des Sables together.
Right.
At which point, Rob hadn't even done a marathon.
Okay.
So I'll let you talk about how you got to that point.
Did you two meet each other? Did you meet each other across a desolate track in early summer evening or mates already?
Guy and Tom were mates as they were. They were young, and I met a guy in Paris. We were both studying there.
Right.
And then I think we both had like a sort of love of adventure. We actually did a big bike ride together after we left university. And I was cycling from Cape Town up to Istanbul.
Down here.
A year-long trip. Guy joined me in Southern Africa.
Okay.
And it was then that he suggested Marathon des Sables. That was really how I got into running.
So you're quite into, you did a lot of endurance stuff already. You're quite fit.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't.
Such already.
Maybe. I mean, it's more like I love being outdoors. I love being nature. I love kind of self-sufficient stuff.
And right.
That's what appealed to me about running as well.
None of you started unfit. No.
No. I think uni might have been unkind to some of us.
Yeah, but everyone's allowed a few points at uni.
Yeah, exactly.
I said points, not pints, but the effect is roughly
a couple of each.
Just as a recovering, supremely unhealthy man myself.
No,
definitely not true.
Give those points of reference, but that's not going to happen. You're too good.
You guys are both in your marathon t-shirts.
Of course, yeah. And you did the. So you did the Marathon des Sables first, which is something I'd really like to do, actually.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it?
100%. I mean, it's an amazing race. And I suppose they've done a great job at making it sound impossible. But like with a lot of these running things, most of it's in your mind. And I would encourage anybody who feels like they have a spirit of adventure or an interest in something like that, it is well within their grasp.
Because it is billed as the toughest race on earth, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, which puts some people off, doesn't it?
How far is it? Where is it? It's like, it's North Africa, is that right?
Yeah, it's through the, it's in the Sahara.
Right.
And it is six marathons in 6 days, Rob, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, six marathons in 6 days. The route changes each year, so they, the distance kind of stays the same, but they, the route's always... yeah, always switches. But the thing I was amazed about is how kind of beautiful you kind of picture the Sahara, or I did in any event, and think like pretty flat, yeah. Pretty, all looks quite the same. And actually the variety in the landscape, it's like we're going up these amazing desert mountains, like dunes, kind of vast plains, is really, really varied.
I know it sounds a bit simplistic, but does the sand mess up your feet? And how do you deal with that? Yeah. That worries me, the sand.
No, that is the main...
People's.
Sorry. We're in Homerton, and that was some mean motorbike action.
Yeah. He's giving you the final... the final farewell. The feet thing is quite a major point, and actually that's probably... Feet and dehydration are probably the two things that are your biggest obstacles.
Do you run in the heat or...?
Yeah, they set you off rather gruesomely at, I think, 9 a.m. every morning. So you're sleeping through the night in sort of 5 degrees in an open tent with having carried everything on your back, so you don't really have that much spare clothing to keep you warm.
Yeah. Right.
And then just as it's starting to get unbearably hot, they set you off running.
Nice. Like it. Cheers.
This whole thing about anyone should do it, and I'd recommend it, is really, it's kind of retreating to the horizon.
It's a real leveller, though. It's one of those events where you literally see kind of 80-year-old women overtaking, you know, really ripped guys in Iron Man jumpers or whatever. Like it's kind of... One of those
stealth wins a day.
It's
a hair of the tortoise, and a lot of it's just looking after yourself as best you can, and like really, guys say, like, look after your feet, like make sure you're taking forward the right nutrition, the right.
So was that when
hydration.
The sort of the food thing started to come into play? Then, sort of, did you start to think about it then, or?
I think, yeah, that's right. It was the first time. It's one of the challenges, Martin. So obviously, you have to. Carry everything for the week on your back.
Right.
So you really begin to think about per kind of weight of gram weight of food, like what's that actually giving me? How much like value is that giving me?
Because of course you've got all your books as well, haven't you?
So you've got books,
your Bible,
and whiskey.
Speakers.
I assume you all had a mini telly to keep track of your events at home.
Well, you have to be on Instagram, right?
But no, it was certainly, yeah, that was the first time I think we really began to think about running and nutrition.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It seems to me that, like, I don't know, I haven't done it, but this thing you've done is like working out, starting first of all on just what you need to take and then what you want to take in terms of food. There's a kind of corollary between what you've got in your bag and what you want to put in your body. Do you know what I mean? You don't want anything in there that you don't need.
Exactly.
It's right. I mean, both examples.
And that's kind of where we got to the whole point about... to natural sports nutrition.
Right.
And we were looking at the backs of all these bars, these energy bars and gels and protein stuff and this, that, and next thing. And we realized actually the very best thing that you can have to sustain yourself in those sort of environments over long distances is a mixture of fruits, nuts, and seeds in terms of calorific value per gram, but also the other extra minerals, vitamins, good fats that it delivers to your body. And that was kind of like, I suppose that sort of sunk in, but just was sort of percolating in the back of our brains somewhere.
A quick blast of it melded into the Saharan heat. It's got a desert madness.
Yeah,
a
exactly.
Moment. Yeah, yeah.
The sun's shining and I need...
These Mars bars are melting. We need something else.
Yeah. And I can That's the last time I take a pot noodle.
And I can tell you for a fact that after... a week of eating sort of nuts and seeds in the desert, I never really wanted to base a business around it.
Yeah.
I'd seen enough of them to last me a lifetime.
Because I've been trying to get Rob to do the Disable, haven't I, Rob?
Yeah, your first marathon is the challenge of persuading me to do it.
But the other thing is, of course,
you went back. I mean, how long was it before you did the Eastern European run, and what was the catalyst that set that off?
The thing that really sort of got us going about that was that...
Oh, we're just getting to Millfields, is that where we are?
Yeah, there's Millfields, and then we go through the park and onto the canals.
Excellent.
It'd be quieter there.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Thank you. I'm getting into the park now. But yeah, so the catalyst that moved us on from the marathon to Saab, the 1,000-mile run, was the idea that we wanted to do something a little bit more adventurous, a little bit more off our own steam.
Right.
Whereas the marathon to Saab is incredible,
but it's
a big organisation,
yes,
and an event.
Right, right.
And there's helicopters, doctors, drones, cameras, the works. And we just thought,
I'd like to run without a drone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Still buzzing.
Yeah.
And also the idea, what we really loved about it is the idea of building our own community.
Right.
And doing it with people. So our run was, we published it online. It was an open source thing. And we ended up, over the course of the run, we were covered by CNN as well, and we ended up with 250 people running with us.
That's fantastic.
And so it was just awesome. Amazing.
Forrest Gump factor.
Forrest Gump style.
It's
fire, fire.
I'm running backwards now. Check this.
Check it out.
Wow, it's high risk.
Ow!
Sorry, go on.
That was just to say, the Forrest Gump thing, really, what the times it really was. Like, people were flying in to meet us in kind of Montenegro. Was the only time we have like 30, 40 people running up and these mountains, and remember at times like knee deep in snow, and we got the trail, we thought the trails would be kind of open because it was summer, finding ourselves this big group. It was a real adventure like that, really great being with a big group of people with many of us.
How did you set the route then? How many miles a day did you run this?
I'm going to answer this question because I didn't do the route. So Rob did, and it was an amazing feat of engineering, right? We plotted the whole route.
A few disasters.
From Odessa to Dubrovnik off Google Maps.
Can I just say, this is coming like about a week after Paul took us for a run at the place he'd repeatedly run before for about 10 miles and immediately got us lost. So Google Maps.
Yeah.
Google Maps.
It was
quite fun because he had to kind of, so we crossed through 9 countries, so have all these different border crossings that you have to make, and we wanted to make it as kind of beautiful as possible. You also want to make sure you're going through places where people can easily join you.
Right.
And then although we carried camping stuff, we wanted to every sort of few nights have like a guest house somewhere we could just load up on food.
So you camped out a lot of the night, sort of thing?
Well, you would say a lot of the night. It's probably about half, or maybe a bit less than half.
More than you wanted to.
Yeah.
So yeah, whatever he says, like, it was camping the whole way, actually. There were probably a lot more guest houses than
Actually, that was one of the most amazing things, is that
how cheap the guest houses are.
Yeah.
I mean, people took us in quite a lot. So we'd arrive in like a small town. So we want to get food.
Here we go, look out.
Oh, sorry. Bike!
Sorry, man.
Bike!
And people would just kind of, you end up sort of meeting someone because they'd see this weird group of English people lingering around.
That's,
and they'd invite you for food, and then you'd end up being like, oh, my granny's got a spare room, and we'd sort of pile in there.
It's a totally sort of unthreatening visual image, isn't it? Just really nice English people trotting around Europe. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like,
it's an unthreatening image.
A bit of generosity.
We certainly, it was a very threatening smell.
But I do think it seems to me that you were building both the things. We talked about how you were looking into the right foods to be having, but also you're building a community and ways of creating and pushing and, you know, reinvigorating that community as you go.
And what was amazing is that the different elements of how community played out.
Yeah.
And what I loved is it's an extraordinary story. I find it often when you're traveling, but you're in one place and they're like, you have to be very careful down there. The people in the next country or the next village or whatever, it's going to be dangerous there.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get there.
And it's fine.
And the people are as wonderful as they were where you just came from.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Warning about the next ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such an odd tradition that people hate their neighbours.
Yeah, yeah. And it was amazing. Like, you know, from start to finish, we were sort of greeted with the utmost generosity. And it was just an incredible... That side of the community thing was amazing, and then the other element of community being we had people come out and join us who had never run more than half a marathon. They ended up doing 50 miles in one day with us. And it's that whole spirit of, as part of a community, like doing sport, especially running together, you feel that tribe element, and that together, you can go further.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, because it seems like there's a real...
wonderful manner, wouldn't it?
And part of anything else, you're really tapping into this sense of distance. You know, I've never considered running more than a marathon. But it seems that it's a very artificial number, this 26.2.
Yeah.
And if you get your head in the right place, you can just sit off running and keep running. It's something me and Paul have talked about. You know, when you're fit and you're feeling good, you don't really need a finish line. You just want to set off.
I love when you hit that sort of moment in a run where it can come at any time, where you suddenly it like clicks and the resistance like stops a bit, and you're just... You don't feel tired at all, and you feel like you really just go.
A sea of energy, sort of thing. Yeah,
it's a great, like, natural.
But what's it like to run, you know, 35, 40 miles in a day? Obviously, you run a bit slower.
Yeah, very slow.
Slowly, slow. We have like big packs. You're running pretty slow.
And left, yeah.
I think it's a very different mentality to setting off on like London Marathon, where you're trying to promote, you might be trying to get time, or and a lot of it's about self-preservation, and we all got quite, you know, a bit battered during it, like injuries to the legs. And,
yeah,
so I'm not really drunk.
That's one way through it.
No, but we, so you're kind of, I think we all had stages where even for 2 days we'd have to be walking, and that's really hard. When you got to cover 40 miles, you know you got to cover the ground. You really can't run. That means you have to set off. So three, 4 hours before the rest of the group. And, and a lot of it's sort of how can you run in a way to make sure you go again tomorrow.
Did you ever come up against that thing? Do you ever kind of come up against that morning and just think, today, I can't face it?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, I mean, there were several days where you were just kicking off, setting off, and I could hardly walk at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And you just find yourself the next morning sort of bandaging up your feet and getting going again. And I think the whole thing, and it's almost like reflective of how, I suppose, you should take down any big challenge, but it was just trying to break it down into little steps. Okay, well, let's do the first 10K today.
Just keep going.
How does that feel?
Yeah. Right.
And then you've done 10K, you're like, oh, well, you've only got another 15 miles or whatever. You just keep breaking it down. And the second you thought about the enormity of doing, you know, 40 marathons, it got pretty intimidating pretty quickly.
It's not the right way to think about that kind of thing.
Because we're very, like, I mean, the three of us are having, though we've run a fair amount, none of us are elite athletes by the stretch of any imagination.
As they can see, given we're on the...
live, though. You've got the live prancing step of it. Obviously, run a bit.
But I think it's different to the guys who are doing, like, Badwater or the Western States. You know, there's really crazy ultras, which you have very sharp cut-offs. So you have to make, like...
Unless they throw you out of the race, sort of thing.
Yeah, 5 hours, you're out, and we've...
So it's more about a long experience.
It's more about that and kind of building the...
But that's one of the nice
things. Building an adventure through running and really enjoying the experience and, like, being together.
Things I think is interesting about the food you do, the sports nutrition stuff, is that you pitch it to runners who are attempting to achieve different things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's... well, some quite fancy science.
I think we tried to, well, certainly building out the range of different nutrition products we have, like, to be able to address the nutritional needs of, you know, right from the most hardcore ultra runners to people who are doing their first 10K to cyclists, triathletes, and
I suppose the basic toolbox of that is the same.
Exactly.
It's just about sort of tinkering with the amounts and when you need it and things like that.
Exactly.
It's like the when's you need it. That's another cool moment for me. I'm pleased with that.
And so it started to solidify the kind of the food element during those long runs, and you started to think that you might be onto something.
I think we had a running through sort of those type of places we're running through, but also type of experiences we were having. We had this innate belief that natural was better, and we became increasingly confident that was right as we ran further and further, and that sort of fed into everything we do on the nutrition side. And we were frustrated as runners with this, all the synthetic stuff, all these gels that just left us kind of spiking and crashing. We're filled with loads of stuff. I don't even know what they are.
They just feel a bit sickly, don't they? They can work sometimes for like 10, 15 minutes, and then there's
like you're costing
them
your body
a sick crash.
And I think you look at like the leading runners in America, like people like Scott Jurek, those guys, like the movement towards using natural fuel sources, as people have been doing for like thousands of years, is I think it's the right one and a powerful one. We felt that there weren't really a good range of products on the market that provided that, and so we looked to sort of take the learnings we had from our experiences and the rudimentary product work we'd done as runners, but from making our own trail mixes and energy bars, and take that through working with nutritional therapists to develop.
I mean, you must have got some science in at some point.
You'd be glad to hear it. Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah. When do we kind of? I mean, how do you go about sticking together a nutrition bar? Someone comes in at some point. You get a chef in, do you? You get a.
We do. I mean, we
a chef makes it. Yeah,
very early on. You'll be glad.
Jamie
to
Oliver's fed in directly. Yeah,
I'm disappointed. Version 1.0. We did it.
Yet that you set on fire. I want something to do that I can run and flambe.
Was it all the ingredients that had slid to the bottom of your shoe and kind of congealed one night? At the end of the day's running.
You found us out.
To possibly appear both rude and sycophantic at the same time. I think me and Paul. We're both very pleasantly surprised at how delicious your stuff is.
Yeah,
I mean,
that
must have been a factor.
Yeah.
You know, I know you were talking about the science, but...
I think that was it. It's like there were two gaps. There were two like observations, is that the...
That sorry, taken just on, tell everyone we've just come into Springfield Park.
That's nice. It's very
pretty
nice.
Pretty lush,
and I've taken on the talking role. We're just about to go up the hill.
Yeah that's it. Tell us everything.
Yeah, you take it away, guy. That's great.
Monologue from now.
Yeah, see whether I actually am vaguely fit or not.
Yeah. Like passing a hot potato, asking questions up here.
The observation we had of the market was that there's either this health food stuff, which tastes super healthy and like cardboard, essentially.
Yeah.
And then there's the sports stuff, which is like really chemically and overprocessed.
Yeah.
And our view is that there must be a way to make natural stuff that tastes good.
Yeah.
That hits the macronutrients you need to train stronger.
No, it's like the compromise is written in, isn't it? Like you say, health food doesn't have to taste like you're doing any kind of penance.
Penance, yeah.
And sports nutrition doesn't have to taste like chemicals.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the balance we've tried to strike. And I think...
Well, well done, you made the hill. I talked at the end there and you can hear me gasping. You're obviously fine.
It's a good hill, that. Such a crisp view.
We're up the hill.
We're about half. What's the range? What distance are we at?
Here, let me tell you. We're just under... Just under... Well, probably about a third of the way there. So
all right.
So this is actually the site of... The reason why we did this is...
No, so you're tribe a local history, are you?
No, I'm going to give a bit of tribe history.
Interestingly, the site of... takes on a tour.
Yeah. Now, this is the site of the first tribe run we ever did.
Ah!
Okay. So, coming down here to the right. We did a run here when we were still working out how does the tribe community come together.
Right.
And so the idea is that, you know, the sports nutrition helps people train stronger, but then where does the community come into it? And so we wanted to do runs with our community that brings everybody together, and they're free, and it's just a question of, you know, like running should be free, right?
Yes.
It's about bringing everybody together and having an awesome time and having that feeling of running together just like really bonds you, and you have these extraordinary conversations with people like we hear in your podcast.
Absolutely,
you
know? Yeah. It frees the mind, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine the nonsense you're coming out with on the way through Europe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You must have had
to do one of these over like 30 miles and just see what happens.
Let's take it to
how many listeners would be like, I'm in for this. Strap in.
Yeah. When we were journeying for the marathon, me and Paul did the 20 miler, and the last leg of it, we broke it into three because, you know, we know our audience, you know, have some patience, but come on. And the third episode was lost due to technical issues, and I think that's a relief because that was both a grumpy and surreal half hour of chat.
Just the last mile of me going, is it, when does it end? How far?
I have to drink something.
Yeah.
Bring me a drink. But also it's nice that it was here in Springfield Park because it's one of those places that Running Country we love, which is a really nice green running space in London.
Yeah, it's beautiful, yeah.
Oh, it's great. You really feel like you're out of...
And it's also... Always crisscrossing the Lee River, which is just one of my favourites.
That's nice, yeah.
And these are the old canals that take you right up to so Newcastle and the works, like from London. It's amazing.
Tour guide.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, it's a good spot. In fact, do you want a historical fact?
Yeah.
Because you get onto Walthamstow Marshes,
that's
so you get right near
the arch where A.V. Rowe, latterly who gave his name to the Avro Lancaster, Lancaster bomber, conducted the first powered flight in the UK.
Really?
Yeah, he just did it over there, and he had an arch where he kept all his planes.
And he landed in on the marsh there?
Yep, just over there.
Well, legend.
We'll see you in a minute. Go AV. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us.
A military history buff.
Yeah, yeah. I can scoop out the trivia when you want it. I think if I'd been with you on that 1,000 miles in Eastern Europe, you'd have killed me.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, we would have stretched your trivia with the sort of like Moldovan wine recommendations. Like.
Nice. So yeah. You had your first tribe run here then, did you? You got them?
Yeah, exactly. So we started in Victoria Park, and it was when we were still sort of figuring out what does a tribe run look like.
Yeah.
Because we'd done this mega one before tribe was a thing. And we're trying to see how does our community come together in London. And so we probably overcooked it slightly. I think we did a 12 or 13 miler.
Right.
And so it was the back end of last summer when we first did that, and we had a different start and finish point. We had different levels, like trying to keep the group together.
Right.
And it was really, it was a great thing. But I'd say as we've been going along, we've sort of refined what is a tribe run, and we have loads of different ways that people can get involved. That we have sort of virtual runs, like for example, tomorrow morning we're doing a dawn raid that we call it, where we get all of our community online to run at 7 a.m. and post photos.
Right, so they can be anywhere.
They can be anywhere, so they don't have to be with us.
Right.
And that's a way of just kind of bringing people together, but then equally we have...
But they have to be running.
They have to be running.
Right, right.
Well, yeah. Or pretending to be running.
Yeah, exactly. Or in running gear.
Still photo. Yeah.
Now, this is... last time we were here, Paul Ray nearly banged his head. Are we going under?
We are going under.
Great.
Sorry.
You're welcome. That's nice, the pinging cyclist saying thank you.
Yeah. Very polite bunch up here.
Yeah. Watch him go under there, though. Is he going to pull it off?
That's for sure.
Skills.
Brave man.
It's like kickstart cycling under there.
Yeah. Still going.
Obviously, Prince or Kylie would have no trouble with this. Late Prince. Sorry, Prince.
Yeah.
And a train going over just as we go as well. Yeah. It's like the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. Yeah, exactly. So when you say finding what tribe run is, I suppose that... I'm guessing that the answer is it's loads of different things.
Yeah, exactly right. So it's a bunch of different things, and I guess we have the performance element, which we do on Tuesdays, which is where we do strength and conditioning work and tempo work.
Yep.
So it's the sort of stuff you hate to do by yourself and it's difficult to do by yourself and you need a group to push you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's... That always happens in central London on Tuesdays. And then we have the sort of more social element, which is where we really, it's all about community eating well, where we do a brunch or a picnic type thing in collaboration with other companies that we like. And that's to share our values.
Yeah. Right.
And that's a easygoing...
It's funny, you should say that just as we pass this piece of art, which is a big outdoor picnic table.
Oh, cool.
Have you ever considered having a go on that one?
You know, I've run here hundreds of times. I've never noticed that.
It's really good.
That's really cool.
Good excuse for us all to stop for a second.
Yeah, exactly. You could cut up a couple of try bars on that. And then we have... so that's the social one. And then we have...
is there any running on that at all, or is it just eating?
there is a bit of running. So it's like a 5 to 8K run or thereabouts.
Yeah.
At a sociable speed. And then there's... we do less regular... Well, it's every 6 weeks we do an ultra marathon. where it's sort of 30 miles plus.
Right.
And that's... And amazingly, like there, we have for each of those type of events, we have... Oh, an amazing core of people that come and do them. Like, we're going up this weekend to the Highlands to do a 100 kilometre run.
Wow.
And we've got 25, 30 people coming with us.
How long are you taking? Is that a two-dayer?
Yeah, a two-dayer. Right. Exactly. So we're doing, probably doing close to 30, 40 miles, no, more like 40 miles on the first day and then a 20 miler on the second day.
Oh, nice. And where's that in Scotland?
Like the West Highlands Way, so it's from
That's beautiful.
Yeah, around Oban, Fort William.
Oh, look, bird of prey.
It's
a buzzard.
Our resident ornithologist.
Yeah. I'm the Bill Oddie of the group. I'm twitching even as we speak. I've been to the West Highland Way, so that's lovely because it's an old... You know, at one stage you would have been a road. It was never tarmacked, but there's still some climbing on there, isn't there? You've got a little staircase on that.
Well, we're strategically finishing a few miles short of Ben Nevis.
Good call.
I think we finished the devil's staircase on the last bits we'll do. I was talking to a guy last night about... He's done there really recently. It's going to be great. Yeah, it's going to be an amazing trip.
And do you have a wide range of abilities to go to for that? What's the sort of spectrum? How does people? Does everyone run together, I'd imagine?
Yeah, everyone can... It's sort of comfortable doing these kind of distances, but right. We do have a big range. A lot of people do it for the first time, and we just tend to stop every... 7-8 miles, and we have like a proper kind of pit stop, gather everyone together. There's kind of three of us and some of the rest of the guys in the tribe team will be spread throughout.
Okay, so
it's about looking after each other and you know, completing it together and going on it together rather than...
So do you reckon that, say, someone like me could do one?
Yeah, definitely.
If you're fit enough for sort of a marathon.
For a marathon, exactly. So we go... marathon pace is different, but we go like not quick, we're not sort of pushing it.
Yeah.
And the idea is to cover the ground together and get out some awesome landscapes.
I think the idea with like all of the runs that we try and take on is that it's more about the journey and the experience of being outside and travelling somewhere together. And what we love is doing sort of point to point as opposed to like loops.
Yep.
Like covering ground.
Absolutely.
And it's suddenly you realise, you know, people say running 26.2, if you put that in a straight line, it's a bloody long way.
It is a long way.
If you run a straight line when you're training for London, you can run out of London, for example.
Yeah.
You get to Watford, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And no one wants that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but I like that. And also, like you say, if you're having a sort of tempo training, it's like you put in a bit of worrying about how fast you're going and how stopping once you've run a certain distance. But then when the day comes for a real run, you're just running.
Yeah. And that's when you start having the really interesting conversations or like thoughts or...
Yeah.
Like if you're really killing yourself, your sort of head is very much in that sort of pushing your muscles, pushing your body. But if you're sort of just out there journeying, it allows you to like just experience it in a very different way, and
it's
you make really cool
isn't it?
Bonds. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
still,
much
sounds
so.
Quite far to me.
Yeah,
undoubtedly a long way.
Feeling quite tired already. I'm at mile 4 here.
But it is nice to run from point A to B, isn't it? That is nice. That sense of
great.
Running somewhere.
Yeah, you can still do it. I think it's like, I don't know, where everything is cars, tarmac. You never really think of getting A to B on foot.
Yeah.
In like
yeah.
long distances, but it's cool that. The idea that does still happen. It's still
it's lovely
doable.
In this day and age when people are running to work in London again, you know, because London's a good size for that.
It's yeah.
And running
yeah,
in
yeah.
London is great because the moment you've got used to something different is happening. Like you say, if you're on the tube, I mean, it's almost surreal how disengaged you are from where you're actually travelling.
I remember when I was travelling in Africa once and one of the guys came up to me when I was just talking to the local guy and he was like, is it true that in London you travel to work underground like ants? And like when you put it like that, you're like, God, that is a really weird thing to...
It must seem bizarre.
Concept, yeah.
Yeah, but of course you said at the time, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I run.
Yeah, I run. Everyone does. But the streets are paved with gold.
Yeah, exactly.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You were mentioning about like how nice it is in this day and age to be travelling on foot. I think what was quite amazing is after a 1,000-mile run that we did and sort of Rob, Tom and I especially were very happy with ourselves, so patting ourselves on the back having accomplished that. Rob turns around 10 days after and sets off on a walk across Ghana, Togo, Benin, Haiti and Louisiana for a year.
Wow.
For a year?
Was it a year?
Yeah, it was 8 or 9 months. It was a great, great opportunity. I was writing a book, doing research for a book, and so I left my job just for a run for that. I'd save money to do that trip.
And what was is this a book that you wrote?
It's actually completely separate to anything kind of tribe or running. It's about traditional African religions and how they're surviving. And so I spent, the idea was to structure it as a series of pilgrimages going on foot to traditional African religious shrines. And so I did like a 1,200-mile walk in West Africa and then shorter ones in Haiti and the American South. But no, it was great fun. But again, it comes back to the big part of the motivation of doing that was that love of covering long distances on foot and so being self-sufficient on the road and all those things that I think led to the 1,000-mile run or Marathon de Saab or that gets loads of people out running.
Like
I think it's the same thing. I was just very lucky to have the opportunity to kind of do it for a very long time.
Yeah, I think some people wouldn't consider that a lucky opportunity.
Like could be a penance.
If someone was sentenced to that.
You obviously all like your extreme long distance travel experiences, but you like your expeditions. Have you calmed down a bit then? You had to.
We've all got girlfriends now. Actually, you guys married now.
Girlfriends! Married!
So square.
It sounds great, it sounds hard. It sounds quite meditative and transcendental. But you must also have had some ridiculous things happen. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like we say, even when we're running, like 6 miles or whatever, you get a few miles in and you start saying slightly more ridiculous things. But also, something ridiculous always happens.
Yeah.
Like when you said the other day to that lady, oh, you're taking your cat to the vet? And she said, no, I've just had it put down.
Trying to reach
out. Was she still carrying it?
No, he was in a box.
Oh, God.
So I, you know, not...
Should we swap round? Yeah.
Yep. So, it's going
to... Morning, Magpie.
So we're just swapping mics now.
Yeah, so we can get Tom's input. And Rob can get a break because he gets very tired after 4 miles.
And he's also carrying. He's carrying a weight.
How many miles have we done, Guy?
I forgot to start it at the beginning. But I think we've done about...
we're going to start from now.
I think it's about four miles.
We've actually stopped. Everyone get my selfie. We've stopped under the Lea Bridge Road. So it's just great the way we're right in the heart of London. But we've also been in a field. Okay, on we go. What an excuse.
I'm regretting the choice of jumper right now. I'm like,
it's nice and pretty hot, isn't it? It's a muggy evening, isn't it?
Yeah. But when it's not raining. It's very nice.
Yeah, you got a grey jumper, so sweating through is not the strongest.
So we've got a new arrival on the mic, Rob.
Yeah, welcome.
We've got a new player.
Welcome, Tom.
Hi, mate. Hey, Tom's been biding his time at the back of the pack.
Yeah, slow down a bit.
I noticed him putting a few faces, though.
Going, I'm sure I heard at one point say, you guys go ahead. I'm sure I heard that, but obviously not, because he's here now.
Yeah, it's good.
And what do you do for the tribe outfit, Tom? What do you do for your...
I do the kind of community bit and trying to kind of help engagement online and to be social with all our customers.
How does that work? How do you find people to like run with you? And you know, how does... Well, we are a little bit... We try not to be aging Luddites, but we are.
So I don't know. I actually think like the main thing is just telling people where you're going to be when.
Yeah.
Giving them some warning, finding a cool space.
Yep.
And it's, I mean, it's, I think if you kind of, yeah, just let people engage with something on the way that they want to.
Yeah.
I think what Tom is great at doing as well is actually, so thinking up the creative element or the thing that's going to really capture the imagination. So,
yeah.
In all honesty, like Tom's, it was Tom's idea, the 1,000 miles in a month, so he's the person to blame for all of that.
Yeah, that's right. And the great thing with that idea is no downside. Well, I was just going to say there's a kind of element of flash mob to it. It's a kind of post-flash mob scenario where instead of meeting and doing a silly dance in a railway station, you're meeting and doing something rather longer form and, you know, so one might even argue worthwhile.
Yeah. And I think, like, it's cool because... I suppose there have always been running clubs.
Yeah.
I suppose the difference with Tribe or lots of other new running clubs setting up is that maybe they've got a bit more of a kind of lifestyle identity.
Yeah.
Whereas before, running clubs were all about performance, or now, you know, whether it's Run Dem Crew, Tribe, lots of other things setting up in London.
Yeah.
It's much more about a kind of lifestyle identity. Where are you going for a drink afterwards?
It's a bit
than
like
it is about how quickly can you do the mile.
Yeah.
It does remind me of how religions mutate from like church, from like normal churches to like splintering off into like house churches and stuff.
Yeah.
And just kind of, do you know what I mean? That kind of getting less institutionalised, because running clubs can be a bit rigid to enter sometimes. They can feel a little bit...
And intimidating in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they can do. They can do, yeah.
Like even as a runner, I would be, I'm intimidated by a lot of those.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably wrongfully so. I'm sure they're very inclusive and wonderful places to be.
Yeah, but you're looking for ways to for everyone to be, like within running commentary, we always say, we don't differentiate between someone who says, I fancy running a mile one day, and somebody says, you know, I've just run 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
We're all running.
Yeah, exactly.
And within a club or a tribe, you're looking for a way to encompass that without having to... Because the fundamental thing in a running club, you'll be running with people who run at the same speed as you, same distance as you. I think in the modern world, there's more possibilities available, aren't there?
Yeah.
You can see the Olympic Park.
I mean, yes. I'm sort of...
We should actually say, coming over Hackney Downs, looking at that view is pretty amazing.
It's fantastic.
It's really Canary Wharf.
Oh, so my that camera's still on selfie. Fantastic. Look at that. He says,
takes
a picture of his own face. I'm going to peel back because I missed it because of that mistake. Here we go. Canary Wharf, Anish Kapoor's sculpture, and a million footballs.
Going back to like the thing about running, I'm like, it takes you into these places of London
football pitches.
Otherwise, there's little reason to get to.
You
rarely find yourself, you know, in sort of northeast London in this amazing, beautiful park. But you know, by jogging here, it gives you kind of a purpose of doing
you
that.
You see different angles on physical places, don't you?
It's
normally see.
It's wonderful, and it's a really great way. I mean, I guess one of the things I first loved about running is the first marathon I ever did was, second, was in Madrid.
Right,
lovely.
And I did that, and I just thought, I'd never been to Madrid before. I've spent 3-4 hours running around it, and you get an amazing perspective of the city.
Yeah.
And it just got me really into doing city marathons as a form of tourism.
Yeah. And the people as well, and the whole atmosphere, the sort of essence of the city, you know.
Which actually was very funny in the case of Madrid, because they were also like livid looking at us, like, why are you running around our city? You've got in the way of our Sunday morning.
It's quite a nice insight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I did notice because
irritation, mass irritation at Madrid.
I went to Berlin and I really enjoyed going there, going to sleep, getting up, doing a marathon, coming home again, you know. I noticed that the people on the sidelines is where you find out what the attitude is, particularly having done London.
Yeah.
Where basically the sidelines are full of people going, come on! And then Berlin
What's
is just...
What's the route in Berlin? Do you go kind of east-west?
It's a circle, which is brilliant. It starts, like, just... just let me get my directions here right. I think just west of the Brandenburg Gate.
Yeah.
And then does a long loop around the city and comes back through it.
And so it's not a, you don't go back on yourself, it's not a single loop.
Single loop, and the start line is the finish line. It's really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We're all doing Amsterdam in October.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard it's good Amsterdam.
Yeah.
It's a good marathon. We're doing the Great York, aren't we?
Yeah, which I've done before, but the funny thing is, don't ask me what it was like, because it was foggy. It's foggy.
Yeah. Yes,
there's basically fog and a couple of other runners. That's what it looks like.
It's like you could only
which month is it?
What's
which
that?
Month?
October.
Yeah.
9th or 10th, something like that.
And we're both doing the Marathon de Madoc in September as well.
Yeah, that's a very different type of marathon, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it should be fun.
That's the same as the Marathon de Sable, isn't it? De Madoc, de Sable, same.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Madoc the one we have a glass of wine every mile?
Yeah.
And essentially, yeah.
I mean, oysters and steaks and camembert, etc.
There's some German thing that 6 miles and you have to have a pint after every mile.
That's a special kind of challenge, isn't it? Yeah. Well, in Berlin, there was an alcohol-free lager on the finish line.
Yeah,
but I know some people are upset by the idea of alcohol-free lager, but first of all, Erdinger alcohol-free lager is the best one. In fact, it's more of a wheat beer than a lager.
Yeah.
And two, I handed them out. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'll have one of those. It was like the best drink I've had in my life. I put away, I think, 4 of those free beers. So there were people coming in later saying, so there's my free beer. And I'd had them. So sorry about that.
So one of my best mates, we did an Edinburgh Marathon together. And at the finish line, they actually served like proper beer.
Yeah.
And he was there trying to tell me, having smashed me like speed-wise, he was there trying to tell me that your first 2 beers are just as hydrating as water.
Right. Yeah.
Which is like, it was a really hot, sunny day. And after his second beer, he sort of getting a bit carried away, tucked into his third and fourth, and then but got back to the hotel and collapsed with heat stroke.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, what does your nutritional therapist then say about that?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a giddy hour, isn't it, when you finish the marathon, that sort of relief zone of rehydration and scoffing.
It's a very different, it's an amazing thing, because it's a very different experience to doing an ultra or something, because when you're actually racing and you leave nothing, or you try and leave nothing out on the track, that finish line just feels like it's always edging further away from you.
Absolutely.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
And it's a satisfaction that you can kind of only get afterwards.
Yeah. Even the last mile, you think, it's never going to come. Where is it, sort of thing? And it's because of the effort you're putting in, isn't it?
Yeah, psychologically, it really is
constantly
just
rationing the energy you've got left with the distance to go, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you must look forward to the finish a bit with the long ones, but it's maybe a different intensity.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's that taking your shoes off and putting your feet up is amazing. But I've never raced an ultra in that respect. That's a seriously tough thing to say. I mean, we did an event earlier last week where we was hosted a sort of product development session where we got all sorts of ultra runners. One guy just run 17,000 miles from
you wouldn't get very good trading on a car with that on the clock.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of distance.
And it was amazing, like talking to them about how they race and how they fuel themselves.
Yep.
And there really is that movement towards like all natural whole food, but also just like understanding the places that your mind goes to when you're like not just covering the ground like we do,
yep,
but actually racing it and finding those extra gears that you need.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like hard enough over a half marathon or a marathon, but do that over 50 to 100 miles.
So what is it then? Does it rely on a bit of like conscious self-delusion, sort of running to the next point and then running to the
I actually think the number of people that I think ultra running in the large part is probably interesting to know people that do it because they're genuine ultra runners racing the distance, whereas people that do it because they're enjoying the adventure of being outdoors, and I actually think competitive ultra running has barely even started in the UK.
Yeah.
There's actually very, very few people that do it.
Well, it's a long time. It's not that long ago that people wouldn't have even considered ever doing a marathon.
Yeah.
Unless they were athletes of a certain kind, you know. Look at Dustin Hoffman in Marathon Man. He's never done a marathon. Yeah. And it's like the defining thing in his life.
Yeah.
Whereas now, someone will say, well, yeah, I'm not really that fit, but I've run a marathon for charity. You know, it's as a humanity in general is finding a bit of distance. So everyone getting on the ultra trail is the next step. The other thing about the ultra is that's where you really have to know what food you're putting in your body and why.
Yeah.
And have a plan.
Because you also eat quite a bit, don't you, on your ultras?
Yeah, exactly. Because you're not going at that speed where, you know, if you're like a really decent club runner, you're 2 hours 45 or whatever it is, that's almost that is a very fast run.
Yeah.
And so you're using different muscles in a different way, and you're burning fuel in a different way to when you're going at a slower, like 8 minute mile pace.
Yeah.
You need a much more slower release energy that's not gonna be peaky. And so it's a very, very different relationship with your food. And you know, if you're racing a 10K, all natural whole foods probably don't give you that absolute energy
release.
That slow, yeah.
Right.
I think also when you're in ultra, it's a bit like you're an engine running on fumes. It's much clearer what the what the kind of impact of everything you take in is on your body.
Right.
So if you have sugar, unlike if you have a kind of full engine of the tank, you feel yourself spike up totally immediately.
Yeah.
Because your body needs that at that moment. But you also see how that'll affect you for the next half hour.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have a kind of natural whole food source of energy, your body just reacts perfectly to that.
So you do stuff that you can eat on the run as well?
Yeah, exactly right. So on this 100-kilometer run we're doing this weekend, we will just have all of our bars, energy, recovery, trail mixes up with us to fuel us and the other runners. And to eat it so consistently throughout the day.
Right.
Yeah.
Just so keep, as Tom says, it so just keeps you topped up.
And you still base it on when you fancy it rather than when you ought to have it kind of thing. How scheduled is it, do you think?
Yeah, well, I guess.
Or do you just scoff a little every time you stop?
Yeah, just keep scoffing little by little. It's quite a nice alternative, isn't
it? I can really see myself just going, oh, wait a minute, I've eaten it all. I've gone a mile and a half.
So how have you guys approached, like, nutrition?
Well, you just made me think about this, because my very first long run was a half marathon, Royal Park's half marathon. It was lovely.
Oh, it's beautiful, that.
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times since, and it really is great. I got to about 10 miles, and I went past the stand and they're giving out Percy Pigs, the M&S sweets.
Famous sports nutrition brand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I thought, that's a bit weird. I don't know what that's all about. And I had no frame of reference, you know what I mean? I didn't even know about people giving out sweets in the marathon or anything. I just thought, crazy.
Yeah.
And then really, really soon afterwards, like a couple of hundred yards, I thought, oh, I've suddenly become aware with complete clarity that there's no energy left in my body.
Yeah.
And then I knew what the Percy Pigs were for. But not, like you say, the idea of eating a Percy Pig whilst doing extreme exercise does seem a bit silly. But there haven't been many other options, have there? I mean, we really do feel like you're filling a hole, you know? Like, I used a couple of carb gels to do the Yorkshire Marathon when I got my PB. And I think they worked. But they didn't half make me feel ill.
Yeah.
You know, real gut rot.
Got
and
it.
And I don't think that's necessary. And then this year, I really didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do carb gels. And then I had to, because I had no energy. I didn't have any other options, you know. So it's just nice to have another option, let alone an option which is... I mean, I completely agree. If I'm in a supermarket and I look at something which is purporting to either be... This is great, by the way. We're coming under the A12.
Yes.
We've come out of some really sunny June leafiness into... Yeah, he's running on the red man. Go for it, Paul. We'll all go with you. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly.
Safe.
We got
red rag to a bull. Quite literally. Here, we're going just under here.
Okay.
Yep. That's the A12 going over us there. That's...
Paul, you were pessimistic about the weather, but I reckon we've done all right.
It's been fantastic.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But it's nice with your stuff to have something to eat when you're running that you want to eat, as opposed to what you feel you have to give yourself a quick medicine. Spike of something. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and you know that the more gels you have, the more sick you're going to feel. It's nice to feel you've got that alternative.
Yeah, and when you look at, like, you're in a supermarket, you look at something that purports to be healthy or to not contain certain ingredients or whatever else. If it's got loads and loads of ingredients, it just...
Like, you don't even understand what they are.
Yeah, and it just doesn't ring true, does it? If something has to kind of basically trick you into thinking it's natural and healthy when actually it's created in a lab from a billion chemicals, how healthy can it be, you know? Well, it's like a cryptic crossword clue that your body has to solve. Look at these daisies.
I think such a big thing of it is, like, there is just a kind of lack of understanding of kind of what people need, like, from everyone. And that basically leads to a very confused approach. And actually a lot of what we think our challenges at Tribe is not just making the right product.
Should we go that way? Should we
see what happens?
Should we follow it?
Oh, nice.
Should we have an adventure?
Look at them. Yeah. They're going around it. This is where we all fall into the river.
What's the worst?
Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
So, sorry, you were saying...
Well, no, I was saying that, like, a big part of, like, our job, or what we're trying to do is kind of tell people about the impact of the foods that they eat on their performance.
Yeah.
Because we kind of... Because there are so many confused and mixed messages sent out by government, by food companies...
Yep.
Who just don't know what kind
CIA.
Of they need in a way.
Unless the CIA.
So that's what we're kind of trying to do, just distill in a super simple way what people need and when they need it.
Yeah.
And why that doesn't have to be a super complicated analysis of 50 ingredients.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it can't be. I mean, it just can't be. You want it simple, don't you? Your body wants...
No,
the less things there are in it, the less things it has to digest. I know I'm not a scientist, but that seems logical to me.
But it's true. And the thing is we have, over millions of years, evolved to digest the foods that we are eating. And our whole dietary system is geared up for that. And so you put in these highly refined artificial products, it's no wonder that it like
gives you a bit of a jolt.
Dodgy tummy or can't do for a long time. I mean, I remember very clearly I did an Ironman in 2011 just on carb gels before I discovered all these other things. And that, like, by the time I got to the marathon leg, I was being sick every 5 kilometres.
Yeah.
Because your stomach is just
so much acid and...
Yeah. And fake sugars and all these things are just...
On the marathon to Madoc, that's considered a badge of honour, but that's camembert and red wine.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Completely different thing.
Yeah, at least natural.
It's actually come at the wrong time, it's like a month before we want to do a really good marathon. We've got to go to France and get drunk over 26 miles and have loads of cheese.
Yeah, but we'll make up for it in Yorkshire. You'll see us right in Yorkshire, won't you?
Yeah.
Tell us exactly what to have and when.
Yeah, exactly.
Yorkshire puddings.
But yeah, no, it is... It's amazing how, like, when you pay attention to it, how direct the relationship is between your preparation, both nutritional and sort of like holistically in your body, and your performance. And it's probably pointing out the obvious, but like if you fuel yourself correctly, you just feel that spring in your step.
Yeah, you know you've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also you're taking ultra runner technology and providing it for 10K runs, you know what I mean?
It's, exactly.
And not just saying, here's what the ultras have that, because it won't be quite the right stuff. But basically, you can't run big distance without being on top of this stuff.
Yeah.
But once you've got that knowledge, all runners can use it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think it's just a question of, as you say, so tweaking it. So the idea is that everybody will get, they'll let us know how they're training.
Right.
And then we will... make those packs fit to their regimes, so that if they say, I run once or twice a week, then we know the frequency and the volume of the products that we should be sending to them to help them meet those goals.
When they receive the Tribe box, they just go nom 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 and eat them all.
Yes.
That's not something you can properly police.
I should.
I'm not talking about anyone in particular here. Nom, 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 nom. We're right coming along by the Olympic Park now,
yeah,
and the Lee River, and it's a beautiful evening, and we're a little bit badass because we went where the footpath was closed and we went anyway, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't we, guys?
It's like taking on new adventures.
Yeah, I mean, to block us off.
Blazing trails.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to go right up here now.
Yeah, if we can.
Yeah, they'll let us out.
Yeah. We're out. That's right, round the end of this fence. Come on. Oh. Cycle here.
Got a little bit.
That's the close. Closed, schmosed. That's the way we
There was nothing closed about that when we
it
got
It was weird, wasn't it? What is that about?
Yeah.
And up these steps.
So I'm hoping there's going to be a mega view when we get up here.
Lovely gang of people on Boris Pikes at the top.
Yeah, this is what I was wanting.
Pretty awesome. You can get them this far out, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh,
you
nice.
Can take a photo under the run
that's
side.
That's nice, yeah, that's lovely.
With the sun behind it, did you phone the sun and arrange that?
It's amazing what they've done with this area, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the Olympic Stadium there, pardon my ignorance, is it?
Yeah, yep. The Hackney half marathon goes here, doesn't
right.
it?
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. Right.
Which is a very hot marathon for a UK marathon. That's the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah, because it's May.
And so we've got there's a velodrome just through there.
Right, okay. Yeah, I'm getting my bearings.
Yeah. How are we going to photograph this?
In the sunshine. It's really nice. Such a shame vampires will never see it. Oh, is that wrong? Something about mirrors and vampires. Gorgeous.
Should we do a...
Yeah, let's selfie it up. Right. One selfie. Yeah, it will put it back the right way around, won't it? Just duck down, Paul. Duck down. No, not really. There you go. Come on. Everyone in?
Yeah. Well, you've only got the half.
It's just us. It's only three of us as well. Come on, guys.
Come on. Hop in, guys.
Hop in. Squeeze in. I've got the run. I've got three. There he goes. That's
right. Got the run.
Come on, Tom. Yeah. That's it. And the run's there too.
Nice.
Let me take one with all of us. Or this way. The right way around.
Really nice evening for a run. And I'm really glad we haven't run 40 miles.
Awesome. Good work.
Cool. Nice.
So I think we're going down this way now.
Right, let's go. Are we nearly done? How
we're
far
pretty
have we
much
come?
Done. I think we got the last like half a mile now.
Cool. Another half mile. Sweet. Oh, Canary Wharf peeping round behind the Olympic Park. It's impressive.
So you doing much running at the moment then, Guy? What's your sort of?
Not much more. Nothing compared to... I was.
Sorry, guys. I got stuck behind the barrier.
Vienna Marathon together.
Right.
The whole tribe team, which is pretty cool, actually. So we've got... There's six of us in the office now. And of the six, there were five PBs. So
fantastic. Wow.
It was great.
It's a good ratio.
Yeah, it's a great ratio. And then... And then we've obviously got these... I do not much more than the tribe runs, which is kind of keeps us fairly busy every Tuesday, yeah. Saturday, and then the ultras.
Right.
So I haven't got any races in the schedule, but I'd love to do some... You know, we've been a lot of the tribe community be sending us photos back from, like, the Transvulcania and all these, like, amazing, like, races up Vesuvius and this kind of crazy stuff. And
there's so much good stuff going on, isn't there?
It is. Yeah. It's just an amazing, like, renaissance for the running world.
That like kind of running adventure crossover, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's been too long since I did the Mont Blanc Marathon a few years ago, and that's just an amazing thing. And Rob and I have done the Davos Marathon, and there's just loads of amazing races that are out there.
I was just in Chamonix recently doing comedy and not running, and it's just the most incredible place. It really is like...
Which? When did you go?
Just in February.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah, and it was really good. Did some skiing and did some comedy around there. But it is, the scenery is just... you know, it's mythical. It's
yeah. I'm thinking of trying to go there actually this summer.
Yeah.
I'd love to go walking there. Or...
Yeah, or running.
And
yeah.
How does it work, all those huts? Do you kind of reserve the huts?
When you go for, yeah, you do like the refuges, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And you can do the...
What would be called a bothy in Scotland.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll probably find a couple of bothies this weekend.
Yeah.
Of our own.
Well, you might find one or you might find both. Oh, I did some wordplay. You didn't think there was going to be
right
any
at
today.
The end.
What about time? So we went away from the river, coming back over the canal. Same canal we were on before, isn't it?
It's my first date with my girlfriend there.
Lovely. Good call, nice spot.
I think as you realise that you might not be getting much faster, then you can turn to adventures.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? I feel it calling with me as, you know, in the next few years, you're going to hit a stage where you're not going to get faster at a marathon, but you can still nip off to in the middle of the world and yeah. just do a lovely run, you know.
What's amazing, I don't know if you guys have read Born to Run.
Yeah.
It's that brilliant book. And one of the things that just really stuck in my memory from that was they're saying if you chart the progress of your marathon times across like an average group of males, you sort of get better and better and better. They chart you from age 18 onwards, so we're going down here.
Right.
You peak at age 27.
Okay.
But the only time that your PB falls below your 18-year-old self is when you get to around about age 55, 60.
Right.
All right.
Okay. And so in a weird way, running's a bit like golf in that you can carry on doing it.
Yeah.
You're really old.
There's a couple of decades of glory.
Yeah.
Well, it's slightly depressing for me, though, because I didn't even consider it until I was 35.
Yeah.
I missed a glorious opportunity.
What did you do before?
I ate pizza. Yeah.
And drank beer.
Yeah. That's right.
So we're coming up to our finish line.
Excellent.
Graffiti-covered finish line. It's just around here to the right.
It's great. It's brilliantly hackney around here.
I love this building.
It's not picturesque at all, but it's pretty kicking.
Should we have a photo in front of the my favourite building?
Yeah, absolutely.
We actually filmed one of our exercise videos here.
Sorry, you go. See, we've got
give
a photo of my lady just trying to walk.
Awesome.
It doesn't look like the Olympic Park, the old Lord Napier, does it?
Yeah. So, yeah, this is where I thought we'd finish at Hackney Downs.
Great, yeah, that was a lovely run.
Yeah, it's a lovely run.
Woo. Nice.
Good work.
Yeah, thanks everyone.
So how's that?
That was great. That was wicked.
Yeah, let's do it again. That's Running Commentary, Run Compod on Twitter, Run Compod on Instagram. Join us again.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tolkien, Sir Nan, Rob Deering.